Welcome to the Pete Primo Show. It is episode 162, and the shoe is on the other foot today. I will be interviewed by my friend, my producer, and all things digital extraordinaire, the one and only Mr. Chris Stone, the man. Anyway, Chris, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here. And I guess I need to pay the bills. Hey, Tim McDonald, how are you? We are rolling. We got a lot of good stuff for you, Tim. You're going to love it. Hey, if you haven't bought my book, Sell a Million, what are you waiting for? 101 tips for furniture and mattress store owners to sell another $1 million or more this year. Go on Amazon, buy this. I think it's $14.95 right now. It's going up to $19.99. in a couple of days. So hurry up and buy it for $5 less. And if that holds you up a week or two from now, shame on you. And my phone number is right there, 419-560-3169. If you buy my book, you are entitled to one free 30-minute consultant call to implement anything in the book that you want. 100% free. So without a further ado, let me thank Steve Houck and Greg Gent from the Mattress Industry Network Group for sponsoring the show. If you are in the mattress industry, we want you in this group. We help you build, market, sell, and succeed in the mattress industry. Everybody is in here. So owners of mattress companies, owner of furniture companies, manufacturers, store owners, there's RSAs in here. There's everybody. If you're in the mattress business, we want you in the group. Join. It's 100% free, over 2,200 strong, probably 2,300 strong by now. And it's a great group. And when you come in, just say, there it is. Chris, look at you. Hit that QR code right there, folks. Hit that, join the group, and say hi to me. I get in the group a couple times every week, no matter how busy I am. And we'd love to have you in the group. So thank you, Chris. How you doing this morning?
I'm living the dream. I get to be on the Pete Primo Show. And the shoe's on the other foot. I'm interviewing you. Surprise. Here's a shoe going on your foot. Now I'm interviewing you. But it's always a joy to do an Ask Pete. It's always great to see the community of folks in this industry and some outside of the industry that are fans of the show and fans of you. And I know you are a humble person and you don't even think you have fans, but you do. It's always a pleasure to join on the show and have people like Guy Danes and people from all over the world. You're global, Pete.
My friends from South Africa. I love you guys. Thanks. And we are going to rock and we're going to roll as well. So
yeah.
Monday, let's roll, Pete, says Tim McDonald. Tim, thank you. I know it's early, brother, where you're at. So thank you for being here.
And if this is the first time that anybody's viewing this Ask Pete type episode, it really is driven, the live questions have priority. So if you're joining live and you've caught Pete live here on a Monday at noon Eastern time, and you've got a question as it relates to the mattress industry or where Pete buys his great looking shirts, those questions take priority. But we've got a bunch of questions that have come in over the past few weeks, and we've got those queued up. So we can talk, Pete, we could probably talk all day, but we only have, we only have an hour before we got 5 full days to sell, baby. So we're gonna end up doing that. But if you've got any questions, and you're on Facebook, you're on LinkedIn, you're on YouTube, please let us know what those questions are, we'll get to them. But we have questions, and if you have any questions and you're catching this on replay, you can always email Pete. That's, he takes those questions and we pop them into the show. Sometimes people can't catch the show live, Pete, because they're out on the road. They're dealing with customers and they're watching it on replay. Some of your, which I really like, some of your viewers are store owners and they actually play past podcast episodes for their staff, which I think is that's just awesome. So if you're doing any of that and there's any questions that come from the group, email Pete at PetePrimo@Ameritech.net. And if you're listening on an audio podcast, PetePrimo@Ameritech.net, just put Ask Pete in the subject line. That way we can grab all those questions and answer those as we go live every so often and do an Ask Pete episode.
So I got to tell you a funny story, Chris.
Okay.
I was asked by another rep to call a store owner. And I called the store owner. He starts laughing. And I said, why are you laughing? You know, I'm like, you know, you can't even see me. So, you know, anyway, he's on the treadmill. He's watching a replay of a Pete Primo show. He just ordered the book.
Nice.
And he was just laughing. And it's just, it was just so funny. So you got a question for me, brother?
We've got a live question. So, you know, we have, you know, live questions take precedence. So we're going to pop it in. And this is from Guy Danes and Kyle. The previous comment from this said Kyle was there too. So it could be both, could be one or the other.
Okay.
Says Pete, if you were totally new to sales or a business owner, which of these would you have on your team? Okay. And here's the second part of the question. A life coach, a business coach, or a sales coach? The answer is yes, right? All three. I'm assuming like maybe we rank these in priority. If you were totally new to sales or a business owner, which of these would you have on your team?
So anybody watching the show should know that Guy and Kyle collectively are two of the smartest guys I know when it comes to business and sales. So I'm looking for the curveball here. All right. And I'm going to say this. Yes, yes, and yes. And the way that I would rank them, if you're new to sales, it would be a life coach first. And I'll tell you why. You cannot get sales right. You can't get business right until you get your life right. So any follow-up questions on that or any thoughts, Chris? You, what I love about having you as my producer is you see some, you work with some of the greatest talents in the industry. I mean, it's unbelievable the guys that you produce for, and I love hearing your thoughts because I love going outside of our industry. I think it's super important.
Oh, it's absolutely important. Yes, 100%. And studying outside of your industry is hey, listen, I'm not in the mattress industry, but I learn so much about the shows that I produce that happen to be a part, this being one of them. Lancaster Connects, that's is run out of Gardner's Mattress and More in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, is another one. You don't have to be an author. You don't have to be a podcaster. You can be anything. You can learn from other people in other places. And I think, Pete, I would just sort of dovetail on what you had to say. I think a lot of times people in the hustle, they forget about themselves, right? They forget, you know, like, okay, I've got to work on my website. I've got to work on my social media. I've got to work on my funnels. I've got to work on my customers and the business. And then that's something you can't forget, you know, ultimately. But what's most important is making sure that you're taking care of yourself. You know, if you're in the sleep business, you know, getting the right amount of sleep and the quality of sleep is important. And so, you know, you got to practice what you preach there, but having a life coach pulls you out of that. It hovers you above all of this stuff, all of your click funnels, all of your convert kits, all of your CRMs, all the stuff that's the business day to day. And they pull you out of it and they say, if you want to get better at this, you got to work on this part of yourself in order to apply it to what you got to do. And it's life-changing. There's no doubt about it. And there's no question that having a life coach is paramount. And then once you get that you know, it's a journey. You're not going to get it perfect, right? But once you get that going, I think a business coach is, for me, that was another game changer for me, is to have somebody there that's like, hey, did you know that you could do this and apply it to your taxes? Did you know that you could do this as a business owner? And you know, like you need to stop doing all of these things and start focusing more on these things. And it's another, you know, coach is such a great way to just take you out of yourself and say, you know, this is another, it's not therapy, but sometimes it does feel like that, especially when you have a life coach.
It does. And a good one will challenge you. A good one will piss you off.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take you to the wall. Mm-hmm. And
got
to
be uncomfortable a little bit.
Sometimes our greatest enemy is not the competitor across the street. It's our complacency in our own mind.
Yeah.
Don't challenge ourselves enough. We don't push each other enough. You know, my dear friend Scott Vaughn was in the Mattress Industry Network group today with his Mattress Minutes, and he was down in Florida. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about setting big, hairy goals that frighten you. If it's not big enough to make your adrenaline run a little bit, mm-hmm. and go, I don't know if I can do that. Like, if you're 100% sure you can do it, it's not big enough. It's not going to stretch you. If you look at it and go, man, I would give anything to do that, and I'm willing to make the trade in time and effort and focus, but I just don't know. But if you want that outcome and you're willing to make the trade and you know what I'm talking about, then that's your goal. And if it makes you yawn and go, eh, I can do that, it's not a goal. It's just you're playing a little game called checking the box and trying to make yourself feel useful, and you're not doing a damn thing. So sorry about that.
No, this is great. This is absolutely great. This is a great transition, because you and I will go on these Ask Pete's, and sometimes, you know, we'll go off the rails for 40 minutes on one question, but I think we'll be diligent about that. And I think one of the things that really is a, you know, something I take from what you've said on many, many episodes. And that is, if you're looking for a coach and you find someone that you kind of like, find out if they have a coach.
Right? Oh yeah. That's the best.
And
that is the litmus test.
Are they carrying the bag? Right. Are they walking the talk, so to speak? But here's a question from, go ahead, Pete.
If the answer is no, but then they come back and say, but I'm a certified coach, but I don't have a coach that I actively engage.
Yep.
Next.
Yep.
All right. What's the question here?
Question is from Confused in California. And by the way, folks, if you're not comfortable, you know, on Ask Pete, with your name, and you want to send that, you could certainly, let it, and you know, we'll be as anonymous as you want to be. But I think these are great questions, that a lot of people have. So they're worth asking. And that is, how much money can a mattress rep make? This is interesting, Pete, because I have no earthly idea. So I'm going to learn, I'm going to sit back and learn from Pete Primo on this one.
So my most infamous answer that probably pisses people off the most is, it depends. It depends on a lot of different things. So if you're a company rep these days, you're going to make 70 or 80,000 plus benefits plus expenses. To start off with, and a really good one can get up to, a key account rep can get up to 150,000 plus expenses, plus bonuses. But I want to go back, because I happen to know who asked this question. I know this person, and they're a store owner, and you're not having much success as a store owner. Here's the biggest problem you're going to have. If you're not successful as a store owner and then you're trying to make the transition to rep, why should the other store owners listen to you? You're going to have to think about that very, very, very carefully. You know, when I became a sales rep, I actually went backwards. My first job with Serta Mattress Company, my salary was $45,000 a year. I had made over $70,000, $80,000 even as a retail salesperson back when retail salespeople made $30,000 to $40,000. So, that's going back a lot of years. That's 82 to 91 when I was in retail. And so I actually took a hit in income, and thankfully we were fiscally responsible so we could do it. And then I took another big hit when I went from, one of the biggest decisions in my life I had to make is, do I go to work for Simmons Mattress Company and be guaranteed? I think they guaranteed me 100. I don't know if it was 100 or 120,000. And it was quite a long time ago. It was over 20 years ago. And I would never make more than that, no matter what. I said, what if I triple the business? No, you won't make more. So I took a job with a company called United Sleep Products. My guaranteed base was basically, I think, 40 or 45,000. And for the next 2 years, I basically went out 1 to 2 weeks. Once I spent all the gas money I could afford to spend, I had to go back into my office. And back then we didn't have computers at the beginning. We had fax machines, and my fax machine and my telephone were my best friends. And like, I laugh when I see like, Jeb Blunt, post, you know, something about, you know, a picture of a phone and pick me up. I'm your friend. I make you money. I love that stuff because my best friend was my telephone. I mean, and then this is a funny story. Nick Marcos would, who's my business partner for the last 18 years, he would talk to a dealer and he would say, oh, so how often do you see Pete? I don't know, maybe once or twice a year. Oh, well, that's not very often. And then they would go, but I talk to him almost every day and I love him. And no, I'm not unhappy, Nick. And it would drive him insane. You know, this didn't happen once. It happened like 30, 40, 50 times.
Wow.
And he could not get a dealer away from me because I was there. Like, so getting back to the question. So an independent rep can make an unlimited amount of money. And so I didn't even know what an independent rep was, confused in California. I was basically born in a GE town, Schenectady, New York, and I was going to work in a GE factory or play pro football, one of the two. Never occurred to me to be in the mattress industry, let alone a mattress rep. So that was not my plan B. When I didn't make pro football, I started selling furniture and mattresses in a store. And that was almost like an incredibly bad experience because I was super shy. And anybody that knew me in high school cannot believe that I've had a career in sales. People that knew me in college have a hard time believing that I became a sales executive and I've had a great career in sales because I was very quiet. I was very shy. I was so shy that I used to avoid ups. I used to pretend like my stomach was sick or something and I had to go to the bathroom, and then I go back down to the bottom of the upboard. And at some point in time, I just decided, you know what? Well, I'll tell you what it was. I got yelled at by a guy named Dave Kosakowski. Dave said, I want to talk to you. We were going out of business sale. And he was the number one sales guy there and he was the sales manager there. And he said, I want to talk to you. Meet me in the lunchroom. I met him in the lunchroom. He slammed the door. This guy's like 130 pounds soaking wet. And I'm still like, you know, I'm a beast from, you know, being an all-American football player. And I'm not in football playing shape, but I'm still, I'm like a year out of it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what the hell are you doing? Are you going to get serious or are you just going to play around? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He goes, sometimes I listen to you and you're great. And other times I listen to you and you suck. And I live in Brook Park. I know you were a two-time All-American. Some people say you were the best that ever played at BW. What the fuck happened to you? And wow. I just went, I don't know. He goes, do you want to be a salesman? Mm. And I said, yes. He goes, then damn it, do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it, and you will be great. And I did. So this is what I'm going to say to you, confused in California. Just because of where you find yourself doesn't mean that's where you end up. But you have to be open to coaching. You have to be willing to make changes so that you can have a better life.
Yeah.
And I literally love Dave Kosakowski. If I saw him, I'd give him a big hug for kicking me in the butt, telling me what I needed to hear. And I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it. I mean, you know, I was a good athlete in high school. I became a unbelievable athlete in college. And I was pretty much a prima donna. And I realized I had to change. And I had to make a lot of changes. And this is these are the cards that I have. And do I want to do this or do I not want to do this? And I decided I wanted to do it and I was going to do what I had to. So the answer is, it doesn't matter how much money you can make unless you really make the decision that A, I don't know it all. B, I want to be really, really good. And I want to be a student. And you're going to have to want to do it for your customer. You're going to want to have to do it for them. Because if you just want to do it for yourself, that road, you're not going to make the calls at 7 o'clock at night and 8 o'clock at night that make the difference between making, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars or making $500,000. And that's, can you make that kind of money? Yeah, you can make that kind of money. Do you have to work like a dog to get there? And do you have to be really smart to do it? Yeah, you really do. So the income is unlimited, confused in California. The price you have to pay, I can't even begin to put it into words, but let me give you a few examples. How about this? You don't have enough money to even afford a hotel, so you sleep in your car. And you shave and you cut yourself because you can't even afford shaving cream, so you're shaving with bar soap in a public restroom, trying to make yourself look presentable for the next customer. Then when you start to make more money, you actually get to stay in a cheap hotel, but they don't have donuts. And I would be a liar if I didn't tell you I went to the nicer hotels and stole their donuts. So shame on me. I did do my penance for that. So I do want you to know that. and I'm ashamed of it, but I did it. And I could tell you hundreds and hundreds of stories about the price that I paid, but I'm going to tell you this. I know reps that paid a worse price than I did. So if you think it's easy, don't do it. If you think it's going to be fast, easy money, don't do it. But if it burns in your heart to really help store owners and you have something that can really help them, then do it. But be willing to pay the price because the road will chew you up and spit you out if you are not 100% committed to it. Sorry about that. That's a long-winded answer.
I love it. I love it. And like, listen, that's not the super clickable answer that that you'll see on all of these, you know, people that are doing the duck face on their thumbnails, right? It, and the reason why they don't teach this at university, they teach you the process of things and they teach you how to do these things. What they don't teach you about is purpose. And what Pete's talking about here is why you are doing it. And if you're doing it for money, you might end up quitting.
It's not right? enough.
There it's is enough. Like there's never going to be enough money for you.
No.
And no. So if you can find those people call them KPIs or whatever, but there are different things that will resonate with you as a human when you impact someone's life. And, having financial gain can certainly come as a part of that for sure. And you have to make ends meet. So you're not shaving in the gas station bathroom and cutting yourself, and you have to be able to pay bills and you have to, live within your means. But we're not talking about, coconuts and yachts here. We're talking about putting in work that it takes.
Yeah.
To be successful, not necessarily financially successful, but being able to impact people's lives. And I think that's those are great things to kind of build your business upon. So like when you're not making what you hope to make, but you have impacted people's lives, you still are taking care of yourself and you know that this is why I'm doing it.
Right.
Yeah, we've got some comments here that I'm going to pop up here, and then a few questions. Tim McDonald says, this is from earlier when you were talking about goals. If your goals don't scare the heck out of you and bring a ton of doubters, they're not big enough.
Oh, wow, Tim, that's super powerful. Thank you for making that comment. And I want to piggyback on that just a little bit.
Yeah.
No matter what you do in life, and it doesn't matter if you're getting good grades in school or if you become a great athlete or you become a superstar salesperson, there's going to be beyond doubters. There's going to be doubters. There's going to be haters. There's going to be jealous, petty people with hearts so frail.
Trolls.
And guess what? The more of those you get, the more successful you are. Congratulations,
right,
brother. You've made it. If you have no doubters, no haters, no trolls, you're not doing anything, brother. Nothing. So thank you for bringing that out, Tim.
We've got a couple questions. First here is from a Texas Mattress Barn. And if you are watching, we've got a ton of viewers here today, Pete, but we've got some people that are too chicken to ask questions. So we've got questions to answer. And the people that get in the chat, wherever you're at, LinkedIn, Facebook, or YouTube, the live questions get precedent, but we've got some email questions that we can refer to and we can talk all day if we want to. But Texas Mattress Barn on Facebook says, how often should you adjust your budget for advertising? Seasonal or stay standard? First year in the business and living it.
Wow. Hey, Texas Mattress Barn. What is your name, by the way? You've been in here a couple different times, and I keep calling you Texas Mattress Barn, and I would prefer a first name if you're comfortable with that. But let me start to answer your question for you. Number one, that's a great question. And it's a question on a lot of people's minds. The way I was trained is you do it seasonal. So you don't spend money needlessly in really bad downtimes. With that said, I'm going to tell you the exception. So here I am. I am a Serta mattress rep. My dealers have a co-op bank. Most of my dealers didn't use up their co-op banks. And several of them had too much money in their bank and they were going to lose it if it went into the next year. So they had to spend it in December. In December in the Midwest, my territory was the top part of Indiana four counties in Michigan. And then I had some counties just below Chicago. In the Midwest, definitely. And definitely 4 to 5% of the business was done in December. And they had to spend the money. And so they ran mattress ads every week. And guess what? They blew the doors down. It was unbelievable. We thought, man, this is going to be a way. Me and my sales manager talked about it. And we decided that we have to let them know that they're going to lose it if they don't use it. But the decision is theirs. They don't have to, you know, go out there and run these ads, but they did. And because everybody else had held back, they got whatever business was out there. So that being said, I don't know what the seasonality is in Texas. I know it's different than the Midwest. And so I would lean on, my mattress reps and ask them, can you provide me with seasonality for Texas? And specifically the part of Texas you're in, because Texas is like multiple states. It's not like one cohesive state, right? Houston and Dallas are different worlds, completely different worlds. But I would try to stay within my seasonality. You don't want to go after, sometimes a bad month is going to be a bad month no matter what. Like April and May are notoriously bad as well throughout the country. But definitely adjust for seasonality, and also plan your budget and out at least, you know, a quarter ahead. And if you have an eye towards something special that's new and different, that's coming up. For instance, a new store is coming into town and you found out through the real estate agent that they're coming. You're going to want to beef up your advertising because you don't want to give them a cakewalk into your market that you're in. And there's a lot of other things. So one of the best things to help you with your advertising, and this has nothing to do with advertising. It has nothing to do with your brands. It has nothing to do with this. It's really important. And it goes back to something my friends from South Africa said. And that is, if you had a business coach, your business coach would say to you, you need to join the Chamber of Commerce and you need to join the SBA. And you need to get a group of businesses together that don't compete to understand what's happening in your marketplace, to understand what's happening 6 months down the road, a year down the road, 2 years down the road, and plan smartly for the new developments that are going to happen in business. Roads are going to close. Malls are going to close. Shopping centers are going to close. New ones are going to open. Traffic patterns are going to change. Things are going to change. Certain advertising will become more cost effective. And maybe the horse that you've been riding for advertising is no longer viable. And you need to shift money away ahead of time. So just a few thoughts on that.
Yeah, I love that, Pete, because it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, studying outside your space. I think there's, you know, laser focusing on the mattress industry is super important. And you have things like the Mattress Industry Network, Facebook group to kind of like share, you know, best practices. And, you know, like if you're based and it looks here that our friend from Texas Mattress Barn is Glenn Higginbotham.
Hey, Glenn. Good to meet you, man.
And so, Texas Mattress Barn, hey, listen, you got to respect someone who puts their phone number on their Facebook avatar. So we're just going to go ahead and read it. It's 903-527-4445. That's Texas Mattress Barn. Looks to be just northeast of Dallas in Texas. And so, wow, look at that free plug. But, you know, studying outside of your space, says, okay, like you're talking about, get a relationship with local businesses, and maybe the comic book store, it does a really good job in town, about advertising and has a history of years of advertising in the right places that have proven beneficial. Sure, comic book store may not be what you think, you know, but everybody sleeps on a mattress, right? So even people who love to collect comic books and so maybe find some businesses that have the same demographic of customers, the same types of people, and you know, you can kind of get some best practices from some folks regionally that you don't consider your competition that might be able to help, and actually give your information to them as well, like, you know, help them along, you know, maybe give them information first so they feel more comfortable giving back to you. But I think that's really great, and Glenn says, I'm having a blast learning. Great answer. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Glenn. And I would be negligent if I didn't tell you to join a networking group, which I kind of did in general, but join networking groups and be a good member of the networking group. I'm sorry, I paused because...
Well, Joe's in the house. Joe's going to be...
So, Joseph Clay... We're afraid Pete's going to tell us the truth.
Guilty of telling Lord factual information.
I've got visions of Jack Nicholson right now. You want the truth? I know that you guys can handle it, though. So, yeah, that's what you get with me.
Yeah, and you're right, Joseph. Texas Mattress Barn is a Glenn. We've got another question here, a comment from LinkedIn. It's Jonathan Wilson. Jonathan says, I'm noticing some retailers don't have a flex head mattress on their floor, while others say flex head mattresses have nearly replaced full split mattresses. What's your opinion, Pete, of the importance of this fairly new category? That's a good question.
Hey, Jonathan, how are you? Are you my new LinkedIn friend from a couple of weeks ago? I think you are. And I think you're with Legends, right? Or if you're not, I apologize. I got you confused with somebody else. But to answer your question, most retailers don't have, flex heads, and I'm not going to call them flex heads because I'll get another cease and desist from one of my vendors. I need to call them split heads. Okay. For the purposes of this show.
And Pete, you're right. It is the Jonathan that you thought he was.
Okay, great. Hey, thank you for being here, new friend. Most dealers don't have split heads, and they should. And it's a mistake not to have them. We started almost 2 years ago at BIA, Bend Industries of America, to produce American-made split heads. And some companies, BedTech, they've been importing split head mattresses for 4 or 5 years, maybe longer. And so what is my opinion and importance of this fairly new category? My opinion is everybody needs to have them, and a lot of people just won't do it. So what it is right now, especially now, Jonathan, and it will be for the next year to 2 years, maybe even 3 years, because people are slow to adapt. And if you put split heads on your floor, you're going to separate yourself from the competition, but you're also tapping into something huge. If you look at Sleep Number and you look at their advertising budget, every ad you see a split head mattress. They unknowingly actually changed the industry. They didn't want to, and they didn't change the industry because everybody's sleeping on customizable airbeds. They changed the industry because of the split head design, which I don't even know if they're the first one to do it. But I know that they're the one that is out there with the most advertising right now. So it's a way to separate yourself from your competition. And it will be for the foreseeable future. I've got an open house in 2 or 3 weeks in Columbus, Ohio. We will be showing no less than a dozen split head mattresses, but with the availability of other mattresses that will be shown in those collections, you're talking probably 45 split head mattresses in Bed and Industries of America's lineup right now. And some mattress companies are still not in it. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a top 100 mattress buyer yesterday. I was in a store. I was doing sales training on adjustable beds. And, you know, he's asking me questions about the split heads. And I'm just telling him, you have to do it. You have to get your guys to do it. If they won't do it, I'll do it for you. So it's huge. And Jonathan, if you and Marty are trying to figure out if you should do it, the answer is unequivocal. Yes, do it. Mm. Yes. It's a great question. Thanks.
And this is the follow-up here. Look, this guy here, Frank says, don't forget who coined you, the split head guy.
I am the split head guy. I got to come up with an avatar for the split head guy. But thank you, Frank. I love that picture, by the way.
That's sharp. Yeah. I think we need to straighten ourselves up here, Pete.
Maybe I know. I feel like such a slouch. Frank, thank you for being here, and thank you for calling me the split head guy.
We do have some questions that are coming in, and there's a great one here from Kyle. And I think this is a pivoting from the conversation, but I think it's I'd love to hear your answer to this, Pete, because I think you have years of wisdom in this, and you've seen it all, maybe or a lot. You'd be able to answer this. So this is from Kyle. What self-reflection questions do you believe a new store owner needs to ask his or herself before he or she opens the store?
Yeah.
Self-reflection questions.
Wow. Well, again, I'm pausing because I know that these are two very smart guys.
Yeah, and it's a big question.
And
it really is.
I don't want to let them down, but we can kind of bat this ball back and forth a little bit. So the first really super basic self-reflection question is, what is the outcome that I want? Do I want a big pile of money? Is this what I'm going for? A big pile of money? Or do I really want Mr. and Mrs. Jones and their children to wake up happy and pain-free? And if I really want them to wake up happy and pain-free, then I have something that's way bigger than money. Mm-hmm. I have something that drives me as a human being. And it doesn't matter what religion you are, what your political thing is. None of that matters. I'm going to say this. I think it's in every human being to want to do the right thing. And it's in every human being to be selfless and to give. And when you are functioning at that higher level, you have the ability to work harder and more creatively than anyone else in your industry, and you will win. And you will not win because you're trying to get a new Corvette or a new big house or a new this or a new that. You're gonna win because you have something special going on. And that is my initial blush on it. I'd love to hear any follow-up comments, because there are many, many avenues you can go, down this road on. You know, one of the real basic ones that's just jumping out at me right now is, am I ready? Mm. And a lot of people will say, you know, maybe you should, jump into it. If you have the opportunity and you can do it, jump. My question is, have I done the work that I need to do? Have I worked for somebody else for 5 or 6 or 10 years? And have I learned how to be good at my chosen craft? And I say that purposefully. Craft. Beyond profession. Something that you take enormous pride in. Have you paid the price? Because it's going to be a very, very expensive lesson getting good on your own dime. I'd rather make all those silly mistakes on someone else's dime and make sure that I get as good as fast as I can. But it takes time.
Yeah.
Being a great salesperson, a great business person. And I'm going to say this, Kyle. One of the, and I've said this in many of the masterminds I'm in. I'm a big believer in masterminds, and I like to be in business masterminds, and I like to be in marketing masterminds because both are super important and different. But if you, are solely focused on just getting good at sales, that's great. You're going to be a great salesperson. How about the advertising? How about the display? How about leading other people? How about processes? How about SOPs? How about being a professional business person who understands how a business works? You have to become that before you actually open the store. If you don't, man, say a lot of prayers because it's going to be a miracle if you make it. So,
what say you? I think it kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier is, you know, who are you serving? Right? What's your purpose? Right? Before you open your store, that should drive everything you do.
Right.
It drives everything that I do in my business. It drives, and the people that are successful, not necessarily financially successful, but the people that are successful because they understand how, like, this is what success looks like. You know, when I'm able to solve these problems for these people, then that's success for me. And then the things like, you know, the location of your store and the advertising and, of course, processes and all of that stuff. Those are things that if you're diligent enough and you put in the work, you can learn and eventually. But also, I would just add, like, all of these things sound so like, oh my gosh, this is going to take a lot of time. I think so many people consume so much. They go to YouTube, they listen to podcasts, they watch the show and all of everything. Like, at some point, you're going to have to hit stop and go, right? You have to take this information, maybe some of it, not all of it, like take some of it and move forward. Put in a rep. Oh, this is what I learned. This is a nugget that I got out of the Pete Primo show, and I'm going to take it and I'm going to apply it. And that is the biggest step for so many people. They're like, oh, I'm taking all these courses and I'm jumping into Google Analytics and I'm understanding how to do all these things. And now I have achieved this level of whatever that I can put on my LinkedIn, you know, all of those things. What are you doing to apply these things that you've consumed? And so that would be the only thing I would say is, like, if you want to start pouring gasoline on this fire, you got to start doing it. You got to start doing it, failing and learning from your failures and moving forward. And so opening up a store for the first time, there's going to be some flops. You're going to make mistakes. What did I do wrong here? How can I not make that mistake again?
Yep.
And that's really the key, I think, to really any business, whether it's podcasting or the mattress industry or anything else, is like, you have to do and create more than you consume. And that, and knowing who that person is that you're serving will help you to do that more and will keep you focused, as opposed to, like you said, how much is in the balance of my account and how, and of course we all have to keep the lights on. We all don't like shaving in the gas station bathroom, right? But you know, the more you keep focused on that kind of stuff, the more you'll continue to do those reps and continue to see that success. So
that visual is going to stay with you, Chris.
That I love it, man. Well, it's real. Like it's, you know, and so, our friend Glenn here, again, love that you put your phone number on your avatar. Like, you know, who else has the guts to do that? That's, I love that. Glenn says, start with a good business plan, share it with people you trust, listen to their critique. This is big. Establish a great mentor group like Pete. I love that. I love the fact that the mentor group is not just asking for feedback. Don't just ask for feedback because you want to hear something. You want to hear somebody tell you it's good, right? A mentor is someone that's going to say, listen, I think you're doing this well. I think you're doing this well, but here's some opportunities for you for growth. Here's some things that you need to get better at. You got to share it with people. If you share it with your partner, they're probably going to tell you what you want to hear because they live with you. And so you're going to have to find some people that may be outside of your circle of comfort that won't exactly tell you things that you want to hear. You got to be ready to receive it.
Yeah.
And receive it and apply it like we're talking. In order to get better. I tell you what, man, clients like Pete Primo, clients like I have, Victor Antonio, these guys will wreck me. They will tell me, hey, listen, I love what you're doing. Here's something I don't like what you're doing. And I'm like, my antennas go up. Because the more somebody just tells me how great I am, the more I'm like, yeah, but give me something I can get better at. Right. Give me, I don't care if it's a little thing, just a little tweak, just a sandpaper, you know, 50 grit, you know, just get me a little bit better. So I think Glenn's comment here is key. Anything to say on that, Pete?
Glenn, this start with a good business plan is incredibly understated and super smart. And if you don't know how to do a good business plan, you need to play around with it and Google it, and get with people that you know and you trust. And I will tell you this, there's a lot of people in the Mattress Industry Network group that can help you with this. There's a lot of reps that have owned their own businesses that can help you with this, but it's incredibly, huge. And it uncovers a lot of things and it instills in your brain a discipline, a framework to run your business. And when you're looking at expanding, you know whether that lease fits into your business plan. You know whether adding this new line fits into your business plan. If everything is perfect about your business, but you need a little bit more margin and, you need to get the margin quick. There's only one place to go to it, and that's in your sales process, right? It's not the brand new shiny object. Like I sell brand new shiny objects, but I don't want you to go to a brand new shiny object for that. That's in your sales process. Most of us undersell what we have and we can get more out of it than we do. So I love, the idea of having a good business plan. I was super blessed when I was at Serta Mattress Company. I wrote the 5-year business plan that later became America's Mattress, but they never implemented what I wrote because it was way too blunt. It was not something that you could sell, and it actually required started to do some things that they didn't want to do. And this is like 30 years ago, so it doesn't matter anymore. But they didn't use my business plan, even though it was a great business plan. They encouraged me to change it. When I refused to change it, they changed it on their own. So, which is okay. It's okay. But when someone tells me that, you know, you can make blah, blah, blah margin in a competitive marketplace, and I know that's not true, I'm not going to put it in there. When they tell me to blow up this number or that number or reduce this number falsely based not on anything other than we're trying to make this look more palatable to a potential investor. No, I'm not doing it. So Kyle got a question?
Yeah. Oh, well, just comment. Staying committed is easy when things are going well. The key is staying committed when times are tough.
Oh,
excellent.
Money. That I just looked over at the watch and I'm like, all right, mic drop. We're done. We're out. Sell a million. I mean, that is so good. The key is staying committed when times are tough. Amen, Kyle.
Commitment is a lot of people's biggest problem.
Yeah.
I mean, people talk about, imposter syndrome and time and all of these things, but commitment is, and if you're committed to the right purpose, I think that's it. And so so when times are tough, you learn through it. And so that's huge.
So,
and, Kyle definitely walks the talk. In his business as well.
He does. That is so good, Kyle. Thank you so much. And I have a question for you, Chris.
Uh-oh.
You are an expert at producing podcasts. So if you have 100 guys start podcasts, how many don't make it to number 50?
Number 50 on what? A chart?
Episode.
Oh, episode? Completed. If I've got 100 podcasters, how many don't make it to
50 episodes?
25. Oh, wait. So 75 don't make it.
Wow. 75% failure rate.
Episode. Did you say episode 50?
50.
Could be more.
Okay.
Most people don't make it to episode 8.
Oh, my Lord. All right. So there you go, folks.
And it's, there's a gazillion different reasons why, but I think the number one reason is they haven't determined a true purpose and they're not committed to it.
Right.
And if you're, and we talked about money, okay? But if you are committed to making a lot of money, which people can use as a goal, and I'm not discounting that, but I think when you understand that you can never have enough of it, I don't know if you'll ever be satisfied with what you're doing, and so you may make it past episode 50, but after a while you're like, this is a long game, I'm not really making that much money, and so a lot of people quit. They don't understand that they can use their podcast to generate revenue in other ways. And it's not just sponsorships or, the obvious advertising or what, all of those things. But yeah, it's a low amount. It's like single digits.
Wow. What did Joe have? I saw something from
him. So Joe asks, I have a lot to do still, just getting my basic store in order. And should I be carrying split head now or wait?
So I know some of the vendors that you've got offer split head. So I would, here's my deal. Don't put one on the floor and say, I got a split head. You need three or four on the floor to make any impact. So if you're not ready to put three or four, start with one with the idea that you're going to get three or four. You're going to get two to three more as soon as you can. I know some of the changes you're making, Joe. You are doing a lot right now, brother. And I love, some of the changes that you're making. Most important thing that you're going to do is make sure that your sales process stays up with your merchandising process. Okay. Because your first and most important thing that you have to do right now is to sell enough to make the rent every month, right? And pay yourself a little bit of money. And more importantly than that, instead of making 10 customers a month happy and waking up happy and pain-free, to make 20 customers a month wake up happy and pain-free. And when you start to get 30, 40, 50 customers a month that are waking up happy and pain-free, the money takes care of itself, Joe. But it has to be your, do not lose track of your sales process. And I think you're a naturally gifted salesperson. But let's spend some time on the phone. I'm going to be doing a lot of traveling, this week. So let's spend some time on the phone and go through some things that'll be helpful to you. Okay, brother. I think that's it, Chris. We're out.
Time flies when you're asking Pete.
So I'm making an executive decision right now.
Uh-oh.
So this is what happened here, ladies and gentlemen. We had a great show, obviously. We had a great show because there were great questions. And I've never done this before, but next Monday, we're going to be doing another Ask Pete because we never got to our questions.
We got to a couple, but there's a lot more. Yeah.
We got one and we have multiple questions that we've got to get answered. So we're going to do that again next week. Thank you all. And go out there this week and sell a million. Thank you so much. Thanks, Chris.